nation, from every nation, all of creation bow, bow before the ancient of kings. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O ancient of days. Blessing and honor, blessing and honor, all glory and power be unto the ancient of days. From every nation, all of creation, we bow before the ancient of days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship to be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O ancient of days. Your kingdom, oh, your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing, sing to the ancient of days. For none can compare to your matchless worth. Sing to the ancient of days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship to be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O ancient of days.
Father God, we bless and worship you. We say, have your way in our midst. May none of us live the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you can.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good. So God is going to speak to us about a very important topic we started the last service. Hallelujah. And maybe after that we can keep the settings where it is and just move the volume, because it's so that we don't keep changing the settings. Hallelujah. So what did we talk about? What did God share with us 2 weeks ago? Who can tell me what God spoke to us about 2 weeks ago? What was the message? What did we hear 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. Seven great principles. What did we hear about seven great principles? Don't be shy. The first principle is that man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. Man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. How many remember that? Now, what does it mean? Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Father God, bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the Bible is saying that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the coming. Now, what does it mean? It means that man, which includes woman, is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. So it means that David Saki is a spirit and has a soul and lives in this body. But many people forget that the real you is in the inside. And many people define themselves based on what is on the outside. But there is a difference between what is on the outside and what is in the inside. The Bible calls the spirit man, or the spirit, the kryptos man in Greek, or the hidden man of the heart, or the inward man of the heart. So it means that you and I, the outer layer that we all can feel, we all can see, is the body. Behind the body is the soul, which is the mind, the will, the intellect. And then inside the real you is the spirit. So you and I are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. That's what the Bible says. And God breathed unto Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. Can I have an amen? So last week we began to talk about the fact that you and I are spirits, but most people focus on the outer part of the person. Hallelujah. It's similar to a house. I am in a house. I live in a house. So the real me is not the house, but it is what lives inside the house. But many people decorate the house, decorate the building, do beautiful things to the building, but inside, the one living inside is malnourished and starving and suffering. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start from verse 1. This is a quick recap. For we know, let's use NLT for this. Am I saying something to somebody? This is very important. You and I must understand these seven great principles to better our lives. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, when we die and leave these bodies, so when we, the person in the inside, when we from the inside, we die. Hallelujah. That means the body, the tent or the body is taken down. When we die and leave these bodies, we will have a home in heaven, an eternal body for us by God himself and not by human hands. Can I have an amen? So it means that our real bodies, our glorified bodies, will be realized after death. So it means that there is life after death. Death is not the cessation or end of life. Death is just a transition into real life or into eternal want, damnation, fire, and hell. People say hell is too violent. When you preach about hell, it's too violent. When you talk about hell, you are being too much. Then Jesus was too much. And blessed be God, Jesus could never be too much. Jesus talked a lot about hell. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long for the day when we will put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will not be spirits without bodies, but we will put on new heavenly bodies. We'll talk about that later on, or you can listen to 21 Reasons Why You Must Not Be Left Behind. Our dying bodies make us groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and have no bodies at all. We want to slip into our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by everlasting life. We, who is the we? The person in the inside. Am I saying something to somebody? God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So the guarantee that God has prepared us for this is that he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. That is why we live by believing and not by seeing. So we walk by faith and not by sight. So that we walk by faith and not by sight is in relation to we knowing that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and that there is more to life than earth. That is what it means to walk by faith and not by sight, even though we can apply it in other ways by, look, I'm waiting for that house. That house hasn't come yet, but I'm not walking by what I'm seeing, that the bank manager is telling me that things are not going to work out. I'm not walking by what I'm seeing. I'm walking by faith, not by my sight. That is an application, but the real meaning is what we just read. Don't shut me down. I'm preaching a good message here. How many are hearing what I'm talking about? In the same way, you are sick, and you are walking in faith that in Jesus' name, by his stripes, I was healed. But the conditions are getting worse. So I say to myself, I'm walking by faith, knowing that because it's in the Bible that by his stripes I was healed, it doesn't matter what's happening, it doesn't matter how I'm suffering, I know that I'm healed because the Bible says so. Why? Because 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes I was healed. And I'm fulfilling the scriptures in Isaiah 53:4, which says that surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew 8:17. So therefore, I'm not moving by what I'm seeing. I'm not moving by the feelings. I'm moving by faith. That's an application. But the real meaning is what we just read. Because we are looking at heaven. We know that we have a heaven to gain. We know that there is an invisible. So we are walking by faith in what the Bible says and not by what we see. Because what we see is temporary. What we can't see is eternal. An example, how many have seen their spirits before? There was a science study trying to find out what dark energy and dark matter was. They never could find it. I'll explain all that, dark energy, dark matter. That has to do with astronomy. Hallelujah. They were never able to find it. Who has ever seen the spirit? No. So it is eternal. The spirit lives on, whether in glory or in damnation. But the spirit lives on. Hallelujah. Amen. Eternal life or eternal death? How many are getting what I'm saying? So it's very clear that how many have seen God before? Because the things that are not seen are eternal. Yeah. So that's what the Bible says. For the things that are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. Can I have an amen? Amen. So let's slip back to God. Yes, we are fully confident and we would rather be away from these bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. Verse 9. So our aim is to please him always, whether we are here in this body or away from his body. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, in King James, so that each man will receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Hallelujah. So without a doubt, we have a spirit. This is not Jennifer. Jennifer, this is her house. This is Jennifer's house. This is the house. But Jennifer herself, we cannot see her. But the majority of Christians spend their time focusing on the outside and not the inside. So the person on the inside is sick, malnourished, and weak. And the person on the outside might be dressed very well. So sometimes it doesn't matter how well you dress. There can be people who are dressed very well and people who are not dressed well. The people who are dressed not very well might have a better spirit, or the real person is stronger than those who are dressed well. Am I saying something to somebody? So you and I must focus on the person, David. I must focus on David. I must focus on David and the soul. Now, we talked about the fact that the spirit is the real person. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, living spirit soul. Hallelujah. Now, the soul is the will, the emotions, the intellect. That's the will. Now, the spirit and the soul are so difficult to separate. Look at Hebrews 4:12. Very, very difficult to separate. And it's only the word of God that can separate the spirit and the soul. For the word of God is quick or alive. That word quick is not speed. Like I wish to think of before I understood the verse when I was a new convert. But the word of God is quick means it's fast. No, sorry, it's alive, not fast. So the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, the bone marrow, the joints, very difficult to separate, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God is the only thing that can separate the spirit and the soul. How many are getting what I'm saying? Because what's the fine line? There's a fine line. But you and I are spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. Now, the spirit can grow. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter 2:2. You remove it later on, please. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. as newborn babies. It means that when you and I become Christians, what does it mean to become a Christian? It means to be born into the family of God. You and I were born into the family of the world, the family of sin. We read from, I can't read it today, but I read from Romans 5, 12 onwards, that just by one man's sin, death entered into the world, and death passed unto all men, for all have sinned. Adam's sin, we became children of Adam, children of Adam's transgression, through Adam's transgression. Hallelujah. So being born again means you are now reborn into the new kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. You and I were born into the kingdom of this world. That which is flesh is flesh. We were born from our mother's womb into the kingdom of the world, which is sin. And then the Bible says that when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we were reborn into the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. Born again into the kingdom of God. When you are born into the kingdom of God, you are not born of flesh, but you are born of the Spirit. That's why the Bible says as soon as you confess the prayer and you are born again, the Holy Spirit goes into your heart. That spiritual surgery takes the heart of flesh, the heart of stone, moves it away, and then takes a brand new heart of flesh and puts it in. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, is that for if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. If any man be in Christ, therefore, it means that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. How many are getting what I'm saying? And your spirit is now righteous. We'll talk about that next. I'm just still doing a quick recap. Let's also look at Romans 7:22. Romans chapter 7 and verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The inward man. So you can see that there is an inward man. The inner man, the hidden man of the heart. Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. The Holy Spirit will strengthen your spirit. Now, where is the spirit? In the belly area. Out of your belly, glory to God. I said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean your where the food enters, but the belly area. 1 Peter 3, 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart. So when the Bible refers to your heart, the Bible is talking about the real hidden man of the heart. So ladies and gentlemen, I am just encouraging you and myself to know that we are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. So let's stop focusing on the body alone and remember that the real person is what matters. The Bible says that physical exercise profiteth little, but spiritual exercise profits a whole lot. I thought you put your hands together for Jesus. And the soul can be joyful and can rejoice. We read that Psalm 35 verse 9. The soul can magnify and bless the Lord. So the soul can bless the Lord, magnify the Lord. Psalm 103 verse 2. The soul can be downcast. Someone can be sad and downcast in the soul. Psalm 42 verse 5. The soul can be grieved. Judges 10:16. The soul can be discouraged. Numbers 21:4. Hallelujah. So the soul is very, very important. Amen. And the Bible says in Mark 8:36. Let's turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And lose his soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Bible says a soul is a soul. Now we know that a soul is a soul and is precious to God. It means that Jennifer alone, when you sit in the front, you are used as a very good example. Jennifer, it means that Jennifer, she is more important than the world. Yes, because the universe, Jesus Christ, the Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, and die. The Bible says that what manner of love the Father put upon us, that we should be called children of God. So it's so important because God did not spare his Son for us. So it means that your soul should not be given in a. It means that our soul is so not wasted. And our soul can be God. We can think about God. We can learn about God. Many people have a one-way relationship with God. Imagine you have your spouse. That's the more permanent one. You have your spouse. And your spouse reads that and John X and Janet X. John X gives 90%, gives his attention, gives everything to Janet X. Janet X or 15%, meaning that, oh, can you do this for me? Oh, I don't have time. Can you give yourself to me? No, I don't have time. How many people want that? Yeah. No, you receive 15%. But many people give God less than 15%. Oh, they know how to say, God, my name is Jimmy. I can get all you can give me. Yeah. Many people know how to ask God for it. Many people know when God is in heaven and he's listening, okay, David is about to pray. Now, what is God saying in his mind? Is God saying that, oh, ask for it. Say, God, how are you? God, I love you. I miss you. Since you've done so much for me, I know he's going to be get, Lord, can I get? Lord, why didn't you get? Is that what you want God to think about you? No. But that's what happened. God, what is our part? How are we playing our part? Are you getting what I'm saying? What are we saying to God? That okay, God, you've done a lot. God decided that I finished doing miracles for people. Because the best thing God has done is to do for us is to send Jesus for us to die on the cross. It's better God can ever do than what he's done already for us in Jesus Christ. So what if now you fend for yourselves, but you are guaranteed heaven? You and I are to say to God, you know me, what can I do for you? But God is so good that he is always intervening in our affairs. God is always answering our prayers for ways to bless us. Yes. And yet, but there's a song, let's think about our God. Okay? Let's think about him. Let's let our soul bless and magnify God. Let's contribute. Let's not make it a one-sided relationship. Let's ask God, what can I do for you since you've been so good to me? What can I do? Okay, I know I can worship you. I know you can pray to you and you can speak to me. Since God loves the best. But what can I do for you? Who can I speak to for you? What can I do in your church for you? Because remember that no matter what anyone says, the church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Jesus was persecuting the church. And the church is not a building. Saul of Tarsus was persecuting. Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You are also helping the church. You are helping Jesus. Because the church is the body of Christ. Yeah. Am I saying something to somebody? Yeah. So you can ask, Lord, since what do you want me to do for your body? I was able to pin her and I soothe it. Is it painful? We pinch Christ by saying negative things. and about our friends and our people in the church, and we defame the church. But anytime we help someone in the church, we are bringing soothing. What can I do? Also, who can you use me to see? Who can you use me to show a loving hand to? Who can you use me to help? God, I need rent money. Or God, I need money to pay my taxes. Or I need money to do something. God, I'm desperate. I need it. And I'm not just needing it because I have a certain lifestyle. Because there are people who spend more. What I'm saying is that some people who don't have much and they have cable television paying $100, paying so much money. Hallelujah. And eating very expensive things. They buy expensive clothes, expensive bags, and they're paying like $2,000 rent and they need help. Those people are out of debt. Let's remove them. Such people, you tell them that, look, cut down, downsize. That's your answer. My help to you is to downsize. But those who don't have, and they are praying, God, I found a job to be taken out of my house. Please find some money. God should be able to use some of us, his body, to say, you know what? This is what God has given to you. Amen. Through me. I'm just a vessel, a channel. Because we are stewards of God's money. I'm just a channel. Anytime you are doing something good, make sure you say, this is on behalf of Christ. Amen. Yes, so he gets the glory. Right. On behalf. Number two, the spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately weak. 17:9. Am I preaching to somebody? That is deceitful above all things. I know it. Anyone who is not born again, unsaved. Anyone who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and has wickedness in their hearts. Yet. Who is unsaved, the Bible calls wicked. I'm a messenger and a sticker for the Bible. Hallelujah. Why is that the case? Because even the man is wicked and desperately wicked. And everyone's heart is deceitful, comes in. And then Jesus Christ comes. And then that's why the Bible says, now you put on the new man in righteousness and true. We'll talk about that later on. But remember that you and I, Christ Jesus, without our right. What does righteousness mean? It means right standing with God. It means we have been standing with God. So with none of us will be able to make it. None of us will be able to say we have right standing. Any verses that can prove sin. Look, go through it. And then after, I talked about this before, so we'll just move on after this. All we as sheep have gone astray. We have way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It means that every single person, no one, including my kids who were born into Christian homes, said, we are Christians. Christ who drew us to him. No one can come to me except the Father who draws them to me, and I'll raise them up in the last day. Right. So it means that so far as God is concerned, all of us have gone astray. We've all turned away from God, turned our own way. No one was interested in God until Christ drew us. So that alone is one of pleasure. Who created me for his pleasure? We've turned our own way. That is the first wrong. The second wrong is that when we were born, the children, no one taught them how to lie. They were born in sin. They know how to lie because it is in their nature. So the battle has been removed in Christ Jesus. Nevertheless, we are in the flesh, and the flesh will not be saved. Will have a new body, glorified body. The spirit is saved already if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The soul is continuing to be saved till you go to heaven. And the flesh will be left on earth. Not go. The flesh will not go.